Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Elizabeth Rice from Delicato Vineyards in California. How are you, Elizabeth?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Brilliant, brilliant. We're going to talk a wee bit today about Central Coast California. Delicato, though, just a bit about yourself. What do you do for Delicatos?
I'm the European manager for Delicato, so I manage all our sales, marketing strategy for the entire continent of Europe.
You don't sound very European.
No. I'm born and raised in California, north of California, Mendocino, and lived there all my life. But now, actually, I live here in London. I had the opportunity to come across the ocean.
Drink some warm beer. Brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic. So we're going to talk a wee bit today about Central Coast, mm-hmm. And just explore Central Coast. It's not a wine region I don't know California wines as well as perhaps I should, but Central Coast I know even less. You know, I can talk the talk with North Coast, but with people, but I'm just floundering around on the Central Coast. Where is the Central Coast, first of all?
Well, the Central Coast is south of San Francisco. It consists of the regions that are, range from like Santa Barbara up to Monterey, Santa Cruz region. And it's all the area along the ocean. So the Central Coast really it's a cooler climate because of all the ocean influence coming off the Pacific. So it's a big area, but there's lots of little areas inside of there with lots of microclimate.
Just so people know, if you don't know where Santa Barbara is, because I only know Santa Barbara from a really rubbish TV series like Dallas that was on years ago.
Oh, Dallas, yeah.
but you've got Santa Barbara or Central Coast just above Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a few hours. It was about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive north of Los Angeles.
And then you go just up to San Francisco.
Yeah, and the best drive to do to really see the Central Coast is the Highway 1, which goes right along the ocean.
I've seen that on 90210 when they're racing around there. It's quite a windy, hilly road, isn't it?
Very windy, very hilly, and sometimes you go right up on the edge of the ocean on cliffs, and so it's really dramatic, but that's what makes it so stunning.
I think, I haven't been there, but it reminds me a wee bit of Oregon, mm-hmm. In the coast in Oregon, because I used to fly from LA up to sometimes San Fran up to Seattle. I used to live in Seattle for a while, flying over Oregon, and you could just see the hills. It was just insane.
Yeah.
And I imagine this is a wee bit like that, is it?
It is, yeah. It's a beautiful drive. You just got to be careful in the rainy season because they tend to get a lot of mudslides that go through there. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you have a bit of, I thought it never rained in sunny California.
No, it does rain. But not as much, yeah, as the places like, London.
What do you mean? It's a beautiful sunny day today.
Actually, it is. But yeah, the Central Coast, while you're driving along the coast of it, there's wineries that you'll see because there's wine regions, and the region's really been built up in the past, 10, 15 years, where it used to be, vineyards and not a lot of like touristy kind of things, but now it's really started focusing on building tasting rooms and, opening to tourists and having people come down and discover the region.
It's interesting you say people come down. It sounds like people are coming down from San Fran as opposed to going north from Los Angeles.
Well, I say come down because typically when somebody goes to California and wants to go wine tasting, they always go to Napa and Sonoma, because they're the famous regions of mm-hmm. California. And so places like the Central Coast, Monterey, Santa Barbara, tend to get forgotten and left out. And so now that they're building up a tourism there, people are really starting to flock more there. And granted, they have great events that go on there too, like the jazz festival and it's racing. So there's all kinds of fun stuff to do besides wine tasting.
Okay. So the Central Coast wine region between LA and San Francisco, quite hilly.
Yes. Yeah. There's lots of hills. Most of the hills will run north and south, and create little valley pockets within those. The hills down in Santa Barbara, actually, they go east and west. So they're kind of an odd, interesting point in the California topography or geography or whatever it's called, where because it goes east and west, it actually sucks a lot of fog and wind in off the ocean and creates a cooler climate down there in Santa Barbara. A lot of people think, oh, it can't be cool there. It's too close to LA.
Yeah.
But because of the way the mountains are situated, it does pull the coolness in off the ocean into this area. So it's like a little pocket of coolness, which is why their Pinot Noirs are just, you know, stunning.
In Santa Barbara?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful Pinot Noirs.
Really?
And in fact, there's a great region there, which probably a lot of people have seen because it was in the movie Sideways, which they went to San Ynez area. And that's what the lead character was after, all the lovely Pinot Noirs from the San Ynez region. So.
Is that the one where he's chewing the gum?
Was he chewing gum in that one? I'm trying to remember. I remember him drinking out of the big spittoon that everyone was using.
Lovely. Yeah, I've seen some stags do that, actually. It's not so good, that.
So, yeah, that area down in Santa Barbara actually has some cool pockets and doing some world-class Pinot Noirs, and their Chardonnays are also amazing. As you move up, San Luis Obispo gets a little warmer, actually, because the mountain ranges go more north and south. So San Luis Obispo, they're very well known for their Syrahs. They get really deep, dark, rich style Syrahs that are just stunning. But as you move up again, then Monterey starts getting cool again because the mountain ranges kind of go, they go north and south, but almost at a little angle. So you get this valley that comes down and it just sucks the wind and fog down into this valley.
Oh, okay.
And so Monterey County itself is really well known for Chardonnay. About 40% of Monterey is Chardonnay. And it's also becoming well known for very aromatic whites like Rieslings, Gewürztraminers. And then, of course, we do beautiful Pinot Noirs from Monterey.
What about your Fumé Blancs? Is that there or is that what Sauvignon Blanc usually with a bit of oak age?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've seen any. I can't think of any. We don't do any.
Okay.
You know, we own the San Bernabe Vineyard in the Monterey County, which... Is that it down there?
Yep.
Yeah. So we own the San Bernabe Vineyard, which is down in the south part of the Monterey Valley. But we do get fog every morning into that vineyard. And at about 3 o'clock sharp, we get winds that come through off the ocean. You don't need to wear a watch in the vineyard. If it starts getting windy, you know it's 3 o'clock.
Really? You can set up your watch by it.
Exactly. It's very consistent. In that vineyard, though, it's really special. We have about 21 different microclimates. Because there's all kinds of hills. And so we grow about 20 different varietals in there also. So it just shows you the diversity of Monterey region and the Central Coast. You know, you do get a lot of different soils. You get a lot of different climates and therefore able to grow actually quite a few different varietals.
So Gewürztraminer, I always think, is quite a cool climate wine.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's quite low in acidity usually. So you need to be quite cold to have any acidity to keep it together, really.
Yeah.
So I don't really think of cool climate grape varieties in California. I know as you get further north, you can get cooler up into Oregon, but...
Monterey is one of those areas that does get cool enough for it. Because again, that ocean influence, but you got this little bay area, which does capture all that fog in the morning. People, when they go to California, they think, oh, sun, it's warm, and they come in their shorts and t-shirts, and they get to Monterey and they're freezing.
Really?
They sell a lot of sweatshirts in Monterey. And then so you have to wear coats and jackets. It's a really cool climate, and
even
it surprises. Oh, even in the summer, it still
gets cool.
I'm planning,
I'm hoping to get over to California next year. So, and maybe around August, is it really, do I have to,
well, I mean,
my wife won't let me go if it's cold.
No, it's like, not, well, in August it's not cold, but you know, in like the morning you will have some coolness from the ocean and the fog.
And how hot does it get in some, you know, August, just to give you an idea of where I'm going on holiday.
Well, I mean, you won't be any, like, no 100 degree kind of temperatures. It'll be maybe in the 80s.
What's that in Celsius?
High 20s.
Oh, okay. So, like, today, really, in the UK.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll go in some of the 30s a little bit, too. But, you know, depending on where you are in Monterey, because, again, all those hills create little pockets.
Yep.
There's an area there, the Santa Lucia Highlands, which actually gets quite cool. It's becoming a very famous area for their Pinot Noirs because it's more mountainous, mountain vineyards. And yeah, that area is even cool in August.
Just looking, I've got a map in front of me. You've got, what is it? Not San Jose, but what's it called?
San Jose?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Looking at San Jose here.
San Jose used to have vineyards until Silicon Valley came around.
I was going to say that Palo Alto is very famous for apple, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So do you have quite a lot of well-to-do techie guys with lots of money getting involved in the wine industry?
Yeah, well, not as much anymore as it used to be. Back in the boom of Silicon Valley, there were tons of, you know, guys and girls who got rich off the internet and then went and bought vineyards. Most of them would go north up into like Napa or Sonoma. But yeah, definitely that went all over California. But not as much anymore because it's not as crazy as it used to be.
Yeah. Back in the day, so yeah. to speak. So what happens in terms of ownership of vineyards? Is Central Coast owned by big companies like Delicato's, or are they owned by small independent boutiques? You know, who owns the vineyards in general?
A lot of them are family owned, and, you know, it ranges from small family, you know, they own a few blocks or a few acres, to larger, you know, pieces of property. The property that the Delicato family owns, the San Bernabe, that's quite a substantial piece of land. It's about a 5,000 hectare property. Only about half of that is planted, though, so it's, you know, not all vineyard. But it ranges. There's small families, there's larger families that own things down there, so... Like all of California, you know, California has so many wineries. I mean, there's thousands of wineries and only a few larger ones. And most of them are small family-owned wineries that sell everything out of their tasting room or directly to a restaurant.
Oh, okay. There's still quite a bit of that.
Oh, tons. Yeah. Especially in California. You know, people want to start a winery and they do it on a small scale and sell everything right there to wine clubs. And you could sell direct to restaurants in California.
Oh, okay. Oh, you can sell. Yeah, that's right. It's real trouble interstate shipping, though, isn't it?
Yeah, interstate shipping's a whole nother, yeah, it's like shipping to different countries, you know?
Yeah, it is the United States of America, because they're different states, I suppose. Okay, no, that's cool. So we talked a wee bit about climate. You've mentioned some great varieties. You mentioned Pinot Noir down in the bottom end, bit of Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon?
Not in the Monterey area. There's parts of like San Luis Obispo that can do Cabernet that get warm enough for it. But Monterey and Cabernet, it's too cool for it. Years ago, Cabernet used to be widely planted in Monterey, but the cabs would get such green character, so much bell pepper. And then people said, oh, it's just too cold here. So you slowly but surely saw cab being taken out. And that cab now has been replaced with Pinot Noir and more aromatic white varietals and Chardonnays.
What about Petit Sirot? It's a great variety I normally associate with America because I don't see Petit Sirot pretty much anywhere else.
Yeah.
Is it grown in Central Coast?
Not really in the Central Coast. I'm sure there's pockets. Well, again, Petit Sirot in San Luis Obispo, yes, because it gets warm enough there. Monterey, Santa Barbara, no, it's too cool there for it. We do quite a bit of Petit Sirot, but that's from the Lodi area, which is warm enough for Petit. So Petit likes a little more heat, like a Zinfandel grape.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And what do you think is probably the wine, or apart from yourself, because I don't want you to plug yourself, or you can, but...
it's my job.
Who should we be keeping an eye out for? Obviously Delicato, but who else is there? And what sort of wines do you think are really the wines to look out for?
That's a tough question, actually.
Is it?
That is a really tough question.
Because you're so focused on your own wines?
I know, or? Yeah. Well, I mean, I know other Monterey wineries, and they're all really lovely. There's Morgan. Morgan is a very good one. Calera.
Yeah,
both those wineries.
Pinot Noir from Morgan, isn't it? I've had that. We used to taste that in one of our tastings for a while.
Yeah,
quite pricey.
Yeah, they are pricey. I mean, Monterey does, you know, do some really high quality Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays that do demand, you know, high level pricing. But when you taste them, you totally get it. You're like, yeah, this makes sense. So yeah, Morgan and Calera are two that are really phenomenal wines that they're producing, and they also do a. Claire does a Viognier, which is totally different than our Viognier, but it's more, you know, Viognier with barrel aging on it. So you can what California does with Viognier, but now in barrels.
Okay.
And we do the opposite, Viognier with no barrels. So it's kind of fun to compare the two.
Yeah, 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 exactly. All right. Now that sounds cool.
Thing I love about Central Coast is the diversity, too, of the culture. Because, you know, you got Carmel there. And Carmel is, you know, it's very, you know, fancy, very high-end, ritzy place where, you know, you have the Pebble Beach and of course, Clint Eastwood and things like that. And then you go up to Monterey, which is very relaxed and a fisherman kind of place, you know, a lot of fish places. But then you go up to Santa Cruz, and I highly recommend people to go check out Santa Cruz because it's a surfer town, a little more hippie kind of style, and really relaxed and cool. And if you like to surf, that's a great place to go. And the fun thing is all those areas have their own wineries and make their own wines and you know, they're all really great quality. So it's a nice experience.
So you got regions like Santa Cruz Mountains, up near Santa Cruz, and then Ben Lomond Mountains. Obviously quite small then.
Yeah, it's a small area. But there are wineries up in the mountains there, and a lot of them very, you know, small wineries that just produce a little bit and sell out of their tasting room and within the local area.
Do you get much of an issue with fog there? Because fog seems to be a big thing in Napa and Sonoma.
Fog and creating issues in the vineyard?
Yeah, or you know, because normally when you see fog in regions, often you have issues with botrytis. And I've never seen a botrytis wine from California.
Ah, they happen.
They do happen.
In Monterey, they do happen. In fact, in our vineyard in San Bernabe, we had a block of Malvasia Bianca get botrytis about 2 years ago, I believe it was. And we ended up making a dessert wine with it. Just, we're like, well, what do we do with this? And the winemakers actually got quite excited because, you know, it doesn't happen every year.
Yep.
But it does happen sometimes because of the fog and how cool it does get.
See, I've seen botrytis wines out of Marlborough, New Zealand, and Marlborough doesn't get any fog. It's just, what some of the guys do is they put nettings over that are impregnated with botrytis spores, and that really encourages the botrytis, so you don't even need the damp, foggy conditions to do it if you sort of work it.
Yeah,
well
make
enough.
It happen. Yeah. We've never made it happen, but yeah, I know that you could do that.
But you've never thought about that, because I would have thought, you know, nothing. Personal Americans like sweet wines, you know, they've got a sweet tooth compared to Europeans. You know, if you were to say as a general grouping, I know it's hard to generalize, but I would have thought dessert wines would be quite big, but you don't see a lot. I've seen a lot of grape juices that's been fortified for dessert wines, but I haven't seen a lot of sort of naturally sweet wines from California.
There are, but most of them are in California. You know, they keep, because it's such small production. You know, like the botrytis one we do with the Malvasia Bianca, there's like 25 cases produced to that. So it's just not enough to even think about exporting.
So it's more winery sales, that sort of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, direct winery sales and just the local shops around the area. But yeah, and a lot of times too, the dessert wines are sometimes can be almost too sweet for the customers who like sweet. They tend to like things like the rosés or things that have more of a refreshing sweet. Versus a dessert, sticky sweet. So dessert wines themselves, you know, are done in usually small production and sold just there in the U.S. Typically, you don't see too many of them exported.
Okay, I think we'll wrap it up there, Elizabeth. Thank you very much.
Cool, thank you so much.